It is thus obvious that errors of judgment committed by religious scholars and mystics do not diminish their status. And if we add to this the fact that I never made any categorical announcement that turned out to be wrong, one can only wonder why my narrow-minded opponents heaped such venom on me at the demise of Bashir Ahmed. Do they have any evidence to prove that I issued such announcements, or are they merely exposing the baser impulses of their souls for everyone to see? I am truly amazed at the way some naive Muslims are readily plagued by doubt and suspicion. If they indeed possess any announcement of mine in which I categorically stated, on the authority of divine revelation, that this particular boy would be the promised reformer and blessed with a long life, why do they not produce it? Let me assure them, however, that I never issued such an announcement. God, however, did inform me through some other revelations that the deceased boy was gifted with excellent personal qualities. He had been cleansed of all worldly desires and enriched with the light of faith. He had an enlightened spirit. He was highly gifted and he possessed a righteous soul. And he was given the titles Barani Rahmat, Rain of Mercy, Mubashir, Promised One, Bashir, Bearer of Glad Tidings, and Yadullahi Bijilal wa Jamal, Hand of God's Majesty and Grace, etc. But all these qualities, which were revealed to me through divine revelations, pertained to his potential and were not dependent upon outward expression or manifestation. I am convinced that every child that comes into the world, whether it dies in infancy or reaches an old age, is different from all others on account of its natural and inherent powers. This can be clearly seen from the differences in their aptitude, behavior, appearance, and intellect. In a school, for instance, we find children who are extremely intelligent and clever and quick-witted and capable of absorbing knowledge with great speed. But their lives are at times cut short and they die young. On the other hand, there are many dull and unintelligent children who lack even basic human qualities. They drool at the mouth and look like savages and yet live to an old age, and on account of their natural inaptitude, leave the world no better off. These are facts of life that everyone can observe around him. There are children so perfectly endowed that they possess the purity of the saint, the intellect of the philosopher, and the enlightened spirit of the sage, and show every sign of being highly talented, but they do not stay long in this transient world. And you must have seen many other children whose future is not at all promising, and a perceptive mind can see that they will turn out to be extremely mischievous, ignorant, and impertinent if they live to maturity. It is evident from the traditions that the Holy Prophet's son, Ibrahim, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who died at the age of 16 months, was virtuous and righteous by nature. On the other hand, the Holy Quran itself testifies that the child killed by Hazrat Khidr, was by nature impure and wicked. The Islamic teaching about the children of the disbelievers who pass away in their infancy is also based on this very principle, and their natures are considered imperfect because al-waladu sirrun li-abihi, which means like father, like son. Therefore, the names that were given to the deceased child in the revelation pertain to his righteous and virtuous nature and his inherent abilities. And if anyone stretches them to mean that the child would also live to an old age, he will only be acting out of malice, for I have never expressed any definite opinion on this. Although the possibility that this child could be the reformer was entertained in the light of these high qualities, it was still a doubtful matter, and I never published it in any announcement. In this context, I am particularly amazed at the conduct of the Hindus. They hear thousands of prophecies from their astrologers and soothsayers, which turn out to be completely fake and erroneous, and yet their faith in them does not waver, and they attribute these mistakes to errors of calculation rather than doubt the science of astrology. But despite adhering to such ridiculous beliefs, they do not hesitate to launch malicious attacks on divine prophecies, even though they contain no obvious errors. This, however, does not come as a surprise to us, for these Hindus are the enemies of Islam, and falsehood and deception are the only weapons they can wield against us. What does surprise us is the condition of the Muslims, who do not hesitate to utter such absurdities despite all their claims to righteousness and piety, and despite professing to follow the teachings of Islam. Even if they had come across an announcement in which I had surmised that the deceased boy could be the promised reformer and blessed with a long life, their knowledge and understanding of religion should have led them to conclude that such errors of judgment are not objectionable, because they are occasionally made by theologians as well as mystics, and even the greatest of prophets are not immune from such errors. In this case, however, I never issued such an announcement. The opponents have acted in haste, like the proverbial traveller who removed his shoes miles before catching sight of the river.